Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nemesis, Dead Center by G. Michael Hopf. Narrated by Holly Jackson. Prologue. When the world ended on December 5th, 2014, Lexi was an unemployed human resources assistant. She'd known struggle from an early age. After her father died in a plane accident, she and her sister Carrie were tormented by their abusive mother, who didn't love them and allowed her to be assaulted by her new husband. This is where Lexi discovered her strength and desire to protect, as she was the only one who stood in between their stepfather and Carrie. When they were able, she and Carrie left home, with Lexi working jobs and Carrie going to college. During these years, Lexi found solace in a bottle and in shallow relationships. Outside of Carrie, no one really knew Lexi, and for her, that was just fine. Then it happened. The power went out, and the world turned on its head. Relying on her intuition and survival mindset, her and Carrie persevered through the initial weeks following the collapse, but their luck ran out on a highway in the California desert. Held captive by Rahab, a lunatic cult leader and his followers, Lexi and Carrie suffered immeasurably. It was here that Lexi couldn't protect Carrie, and it was also here that Carrie showed she wasn't able to mentally deal with the new world. After a confrontation with a follower of Rahab's, Carrie was sentenced to death and executed in one of the most barbaric ways possible. With the help of strangers, Lexi escaped her captors and soon went her own way. With the one person she truly loved and trusted gone, she made two pledges. One, to find and kill Rahab, and two, she commit her life to protecting innocents like Carrie. She would be their protector, their guardian angel of sorts. And those who lusted or prayed after the innocent, they were now her target. They would know no quarter, and she would deal justice by striking them down. She was their nemesis. She did find Rahab, and with the help of a new friend, Gordon Van Zandt, the sadistic cult leader met his fate. With that past her, she now put her focus on bringing justice wherever she found it lacking. Soon, her reputation spread. Rumors of a vigilante roaming the highways gave survivors hope and struck fear in those who wished to prey upon the weak. Of course, these rumors began to take on a life of their own, with her accomplishing things greater or bigger than she'd actually done. But she relished in it so much, she gave herself the name Nemesis. She likened herself to a superhero of sorts. Along her travels, she never imagined she'd find lasting friendship or love, but she found both. Friendship with the Van Zants in the Republic of Cascadia, and love from a man named Nicholas Knight, whom she'd met by happenstance. Her time with Nicholas was short-lived, but he gave her something she never asked for or ever thought she wanted, a child. As her pregnancy progressed, she knew she needed to find a safe, quiet place to have her baby, and eventually raise the child from the harshness of the new world. However, this is Lexi we're talking about, and things never seem to come easy for her, or end up like she would want. September 13, 2016. You have come into a hard world. I know of only one easy place in it, and that is the grave. Henry Ward Beecher. Outskirts of Truckee, California.
Look at me,
Gavin barked as he grabbed Lexi by the jaw and forced her head up. He stared into her defiant eyes and growled.
You'll pay for what you did to my brother.
Lexi raised her brow and snickered with a crooked smile. Your brother got what was coming to him. Even though his knuckles were sore from the beating he'd already given Lexi, he recoiled his arm back and swung. This time, the back of his hand struck Lexi on the side of her already bruised and bloody face. A varsity ring from his days as a baseball player doing the most damage. She took the hit without wincing. She lifted her gaze and asked, Is that all you got? Shocked by her strength and fearless demeanor, he stepped back and looked at the faces of his colleagues.
Who is this bitch?
The three other men in the room shrugged their shoulders.
Just fucking kill her and be done with it, one man said.
His name was Lee, and he was Gavin's cousin.
I'm not going to just kill her. That's too easy. I want her to suffer for what she did,
Gavin replied. While the men talked, Lexi twisted her arms to test the bindings they had used to secure her arms behind her back. Her ankles were bound to the legs of the chairs, but she could tell they were loose and felt, if she pushed up, she could stand. The pressure from her pregnant belly, though, made the position she was in very uncomfortable.
Are you sure she killed Mike? Lee asked.
Gavin shot Lee a harsh look and replied,
I saw her put this knife in his chest. She stood above him and plunged it in. She's pregnant, for Christ's sake!
Lee howled in awe at the story Gavin told him about how Lexi fought and killed Mike.
I know she's pregnant, but I'm telling you what I saw.
Gavin shot back, spit flying from his mouth. Veins in his neck and temples flared with rage. With the men distracted, Lexi continued to twist her arms and began to feel she could slip out of the bindings on her wrists if given time. She then began to assess the situation. Even if she got free, how would she be able to fight the three men there? She was badly hurt and 9 months pregnant.
Why don't you tell me why you killed my brother?
Gavin asked Lexi, his attention back on her. You really don't know why? Lexi replied.
Was it because he was getting familiar with that woman?
Gavin asked as he paced back and forth. He rubbed his right hand and glanced down at his red, swollen knuckles. Still shocked by Lexi's ability to take a beating, he craned his head back and stared at her. Lexi's face was heavily bruised, and she had cuts on her cheek, lip, and right eyebrow. Blood coursed down and was smeared with sweat.
What you call familiar, I call rape. And so what? Why do you care? Who do you even think you are anyway?
Gavin asked. The truth for him was he hadn't killed her because he found something about her alluring and mysterious.
Just kill her already, Lee snapped.
He pulled a pistol from a shoulder holster and pointed it at Lexi's head. The door behind them opened, and in stepped a boy about 10 years old.
Dad,
the boy said, but paused when he saw Lexi sitting strapped to the chair.
Terry, get out of here,
Gavin barked, his finger pointed at the door. Terry stood frozen, his gaze fixed on Lexi. Lexi gave Terry a smile and said,
Best do what your father tells you, unless you want to see him beat a pregnant woman.
Get, boy,
Gavin said. He took Terry by the arm and escorted him out of the room. He turned around and addressed Lee.
Put the pistol down. I have no problem killing the bitch. I just...
Just what?
Lee replied, the pistol still leveled at Lexi's head.
She's pregnant. I don't know if I can kill her and the baby,
Gavin confessed.
You won't be. I'll do it,
Lee declared, his index finger on the trigger and applying pressure. Gavin placed his hand on Lee's pistol and nudged it down.
No. Consider it a late-term abortion, then,
Lee snarled.
I don't kill babies, and I don't let babies get murdered in my house. Now holster your pistol,
Gavin ordered, his tone showing he was in charge. Shoving the pistol back in his holster, Lee sniffed loudly and said,
He was your brother, not mine anyway.
He turned and exited the room.
And how do you feel about it?
Gavin asked the third man. His name was Roger, and he too was a cousin.
I'm with you. We have a code here. We don't murder babies,
Roger said, his chest puffed out. But you rape innocent women. That's okay, Lexi taunted.
You're all so chivalrous, gentlemen.
Both men shot Lexi a look.
You're going to stand there, proclaim your righteousness, yet condone rape? What else do you condone? Oh, let me guess.
Before she could utter the words, Gavin slapped her across the face.
Shut it.
That's it. Beating women. You're fine with that one, too,
Lexi sneered. Gavin reared back to hit her again. This time, Lexi stuck out her chin and said, Go ahead, hit me again, big man.
You're so tough, so manly. Show me, show your fat friend just how tough you are. How about untying me so we can make it a bit more fair? Or are you too much of a pussy?
Gavin's eyes widened with rage. No one ever talked to him the way she was, leaving him feeling uncomfortable.
The door opened, and in came Lee.
I heard what she just said. That bitch is calling you out. Let's just stop the charade and end this.
Oh, you're another tough one, fucking candy ass, Lexi spat. She enjoyed taunting them, but she didn't know how long she could take the beatings. In her mind, she was in conflict with her pain receptors raging and flashing for her to stop asking for it. Lee's temper flared. He ripped his pistol back out and aimed it at Lexi.
I should kill you like I killed your fucking mutts!
Lexi finally showed her emotions upon hearing that Frenchie and Bo had been killed. Bo, a male pit bull, and Frenchie, a female French bulldog, had been her traveling companions for a long time, and the only thing she could remotely call family.
Oh, you didn't know,
Lee mocked upon seeing her reaction.
Yeah, I found those mangy dogs and slit their throats. I'm gonna feed them to the hogs we have as soon as I drag their flea-ridden bodies back here.
Lexi surged with rage, her body tensed, and she tried to break free from the bindings but couldn't. Lee laughed loudly.
That got her.
Gavin and Roger joined in, both men chuckling.
Come on, you pussies. Cut me loose and let's see if you're as tough as you talk. You can't be afraid of a 9-month pregnant woman, can you? Huh? So you can beat up tied women and kill innocent dogs, but when it comes to a straight-up fight, you're too afraid.
Shut it, Gavin barked.
She glared at Lee. I bet you have one of those micro-penises. I mean, look at how you conduct yourself. Only a man, and I use that word loosely, finds joy in tying up women and killing dogs. Lee stepped forward and put the muzzle of his Taurus TH9C against her forehead.
Shut your whore mouth!
Lexi squinted her eyes and said in a seductive tone, Does hurting women make your micropenis hard? Lee put more pressure on the trigger. Seeing that Lee was about to shoot her, Gavin stepped forward and gently pushed the pistol away.
I don't want her dead.
That all you got? She taunted Lee. Lee's nostrils flared, and his face was red with anger.
We're wasting our fucking time with this bitch. I agree, but we'll take care of her properly after the baby is safe, Gavin said. Nancy's been saying she wants another baby. Well, it appears we have one coming.
Those words added to Lexi's anger. She figured she had one chance of getting out, and that was if they took up her challenge of untying her.
Come on, boys. How about proving your men?
Lee kept his finger on the trigger, his eyes locked on Lexi's.
Lee, stop it, Gavin ordered. Do what Gavin says, Roger said.
Lee released the pressure on the trigger and pulled the pistol away from Lexi's forehead. He leaned down, got an inch from Lexi's face, and snarled,
As soon as you have that bastard of a kid, you're mine.
Lexi puckered her lips and blew him a kiss. Why wait? How about now? Frustrated, Lee holstered his pistol and stormed out of the room. On his way out, he slammed the door.
You're lucky. Your brains were almost on that wall behind you, Gavin said.
Is that it? You're not going to prove you're manly men? Lexi taunted. Roger stepped up to Gavin, put his hand on his shoulder, and said,
Let's go. Leave her.
Did you send for August?
Gavin asked Roger, referring to his oldest brother.
Yeah, I sent my boy, but I don't expect them to come until the morning, Roger said.
Gavin gave Lexi one last hard glare.
You wait until you meet my brother Augie. He don't take kindly to people who hurt family, and he's a bit more creative as it pertains to hurting people.
He turned away and left with Roger in tow. When the door closed, Lexi sighed loudly. Her body was racked with pain, and she could feel the baby was stressed by the way it was moving.
It's okay, sweetie. Mama will get you out of this, so please stop kicking me, she said,
although she had no idea just how she'd keep her promise. The door opened and closed. Awoken by the sound, Lexi lifted her head, but found it hard to see due to her vision being blurred. She blinked repeatedly until she saw who was standing in front of her. It was Lee, and on his face was a devilish grin.
Hey, bitch, he snarled.
Is that you, micropenis? Lexi quipped.
Lee put his hand on the handle of his sheath knife and slowly pulled it out. The blade glimmered when the yellowish light of the single incandescent bulb hit it. He stepped forward, put the edge against her throat, and sneered.
I should cut your throat right here, right now. Seeing you bleed out would be so fulfilling.
Go ahead and fucking do it. I'm dead anyway. I'd rather die now with my baby than later, she said. He lowered the blade and placed it against her belly.
Or I can cut you open and take that baby for myself.
She laughed loudly. He stepped back and cocked his head.
What's funny?
You are. All of you. You're pathetic. You're still coming in here acting tough, but you're just a bunch of pussies. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid to die. This act you're doing is supposed to strike terror in me. It doesn't. It's a joke. You're a joke. Your friends are jokes. You have no power over me. You can't beat me. Lee backed up, his back to her. So unless you're going to cut me loose and fight me like you have a pair, then go ahead and kill me. Go ahead and cut my throat. Let me bleed out. I may die, but we'll both know you're a small-dicked man who is a coward. He spun around and came at her.
You think you're so...
Lexi lifted her head. Go ahead. Prove to me you're a coward. His hands clenched the handle of the knife tightly, his knuckles turning white. His anger had reached a crescendo. He wanted desperately to plunge his knife into her or slice her throat, but doing so now seemed to only prove her point, a point he wouldn't allow her to win. He walked behind her and cut the bindings.
Now stand up and fight me.
With the bindings on her arms free, she brought them around. She could feel the blood rushing back to them.
Get up,
he barked. He was behind her, his knife firmly in his grip. Lexi rubbed her wrists and glanced around the room looking for anything she could use as a weapon, but came up with nothing.
Come on, bitch!
You just cut me loose. At least allow me a minute, she said as a way to stall for time. She slowly got to her feet. Like her arms, her legs were stiff from the blood restriction to them. She turned around slowly until she was facing Lee. The only thing in between them was the wooden chair. She looked at it, then without a second's thought, kicked it hard. The chair shot backwards and collided with a stunned Lee. She simultaneously lunged for the knife. Lee was taken by surprise even though he had steeled himself for the fight. Lexi misjudged her reach. Her left hand took hold of his forearm, and her right landed on his hand just a short 2 inches from the blade. He retreated but could only go a foot as his back hit the wall. She leveled her shoulder into his chest, pushed down on his right arm, and with a quick head snap, smashed her forehead into his face, breaking his nose. He howled in pain and jerked his arm further back. The blade of the knife traveled over Lexi's finger, slicing them badly. She reeled back again with her head and hammered it against his broken nose. Lee cried out in pain. With Lee's right arm under control and reeling from the sudden assault, she released the grip with her left hand, swung it back, and came at him with her elbow, hitting him in the jaw. The strike from her hit was enough to daze him. She could tell she had the advantage and pressed on by repeatedly hammering him with her elbow until his knees wobbled and gave out. He dropped to the floor. She recoiled her right leg and kicked him in the face, not once, but 3 times. Voices carried from outside the door. She pulled the Taurus pistol from his holster and turned just as the door opened. It was Roger. He brought his pistol up, took a quick aim, and pulled the trigger. A gunshot cracked. Lexi felt the searing pain as a bullet tore through the fleshy part of her left side. She raised the Taurus and pointed it, then pulled the trigger. Roger gasped as the 9mm round struck him in the chest. Before he could do anything else, Lexi fired 2 more rounds into him. With 3 fatal wounds to his chest, Roger stumbled backwards and collapsed against the wall. He was dead before he hit the floor. Lexi shrieked in pain. She looked down and saw Lee had plunged his knife into her right thigh. He twisted the blade and pulled it out. She limped a few steps away, pivoted, and aimed the pistol in his direction. Knowing he had few options, Lee took a chance and threw the knife. It missed her by a wide berth.
Go ahead, bitch. Shoot me.
Don't worry. I planned on it, Lexi said, and pulled the trigger. The 9mm round penetrated just above the bridge of his nose and exited out the back of his head, with parts of skull, brain, and blood splattering against the white walls, painting them red. Lee opened his mouth, but only blood poured out. He fell over face first and hit the floor dead. She surveyed the carnage. She'd won, but at a cost. She'd been shot, her right hand cut deeply, and the knife wound in her thigh was bleeding badly. She hobbled over to Roger's body and picked up his pistol. She tucked it in her waistband and was about to step off when she spotted a red bandana dangling from his pocket. She pulled it out and examined it to find it was relatively clean. She wrapped her hand and tied it off tightly, then exited the room. She found herself in a darkened hallway. Without the ability to see, she paused and listened, but heard nothing but music coming from further down the hall. The muffled sound told her there was a room ahead, and someone was having a jolly good time. She limped down the hall. Each step she took, the music grew louder until she was standing in front of a door. Cracks of light spilled out from the edges of the door. She pressed her ear against it and listened. All she heard besides the music were two children playing. She threw open the door and came in with her pistol raised. Terry and his younger sister Ava, who was 5 years old, were playing a board game on a small black table to the right. The room itself was large, and by the furniture layout, she could tell it was a living room. Terry looked up from his game and saw her. He screamed and got up to run, but didn't go a foot before Lexi said, "Sit back down and shut up." Her right hand throbbed, and blood oozed out from the edges of the bandana. Gripping a pistol was painful, but she'd have to suffer for now. "Don't hurt us," Terry pleaded. "I don't kill kids," Lexi informed him. "How do I get out of here?" Ava, who remained silent, pointed to the far door. "Thank you," Lexi said, and limped towards the door, leaving a trail of blood along the way. The door in question burst open, and in came Gavin, half-dressed. "Kids!" he hollered, before pausing when he saw Lexi. Lexi didn't hesitate. She raised her pistol and fired. The round struck Gavin in his shoulder and spun him halfway around. He fell to his knees and dropped the pistol he was holding.
"Dad!"
Terry howled. He ran to Gavin's side and put his arm around him. Ava stood frozen. Tears streamed down her face. "Back away, kid," Lexi said, and advanced on Gavin, her pistol leveled at his face.
"No, don't hurt my dad, please," Terry cried.
"Kid, your dad is a bad man," Lexi said.
"He's my dad,"
Terry cried. "Is there anyone else in the house?" Lexi asked.
"I'm not telling you anything," Gavin hollered.
"Kid, is there anyone else in the house?" Lexi asked Terry. She took a half step to steady herself as she felt a bit dizzy.
"Just my mom," Terry answered.
"Damn it, boy, keep your mouth shut," Gavin barked.
"Please don't hurt my mom," Terry pleaded.
"Not mama, no,"
Ava whined. Lexi shot Ava a look and said, "I won't hurt her unless she tries to hurt me."
"Leave, just go," Terry screamed.
"That's all I want to do," Lexi said. "Believe me, I just want to get the hell out of here." The door opened again. This time it was Nancy, Gavin's wife. In her hands, she held a shotgun. Its muzzle pointed at the floor. She and Lexi looked at each other.
"Just drop it," Lexi barked, the pistol in her grip leveled at Nancy's chest.
Nancy raised the shotgun, but before she could pull the trigger, Lexi put two rounds in her. Nancy stumbled backwards and collapsed into the hallway from which she'd come.
"Mama, no!"
Terry screamed. He jumped up and ran to his mother's side. He took her hand.
"Mama, no, no!"
Nancy lifted her head. Blood streamed from the sides.
"Kill her. Pick up the shotgun and kill her."
Terry stared at the shotgun just a few feet away.
"Don't do it, kid," Lexi warned.
"Please don't."
With Lexi's attention on Terry, Gavin made his move. He reached for his dropped pistol. Lexi pivoted and let loose a round, hitting Gavin in the side of the face. The bullet passed through and exited out the lower side of his right jaw, leaving it dangly by just the skin. Gavin groaned and fell onto his side. Blood poured from the gaping wound and pooled on the floor. Nancy choked on her own blood, gasped her last breath, and died. Lexi turned back to Terry and snapped,
"Kid, don't do it. Do not pick up the shotgun. I'm begging you."
Terry, torn between what to do, decided in an instant he needed to go for the shotgun.
Shit!
Lexi roared. She put her sights on Terry and pulled the trigger. It only took the one well-placed shot to put Terry down. He grunted and fell to the floor dead. Ava shrieked.
Damn it!
Lexi barked in anger. She'd never killed a child, but she made a snap decision. It was either both her and her unborn baby or Terry. She, of course, opted to save herself, which in turn saved her child still inside of her. Ava continued to scream. Lexi faced Ava.
Stop screaming!
Ava stood in shock after witnessing her entire family being killed and continued to scream. Feeling she couldn't leave her alone, Lexi walked towards Ava. Terrified, Ava ran out the back door from which Lexi had entered the room and disappeared down the dark hall, her screams growing fainter until Lexi couldn't hear her anymore. Alone, Lexi surveyed the death, and while she didn't want to kill Terry, she chalked it up as a righteous kill. When given the choice, she'll always choose her kid over someone else's. She stepped over Terry, picked up the shotgun, and exited the room. She found herself in another hall, but this one shorter. A dim light illuminated from a window at the far end. She headed for it and ended up in a foyer with a thick wooden door separating her from the outside. Lexi had no idea if anyone else was close by or how many other people she would encounter. All she knew is she needed to get the hell out of there before Gavin's other brother, August, arrived. She threw open the door and stepped out. She was weak from the blood loss, and her baby was kicking like nothing she'd ever experienced before. She stumbled down the steps of the porch and onto a gravel drive. The waxing moon gave her significant light to see. To her left was a barn, and to the right she spotted a quad runner. She walked over to it and saw the key in the ignition. She turned the key and a red light appeared.
Yes,
she said out loud. She pressed the start button on the right grip. The quad fired up. Its throaty exhaust sound echoed off the side of the house. The headlight kicked on, and in front of her, she spotted the most horrific sight. Lying in a pool of blood were Beau and Frenchie. She climbed off the quad and walked over to them. She knelt and petted Beau's thick, coarse hair. Tears broke free and streamed down her cheeks.
I'm so sorry, buddy. It appears I bit off more than I could chew this time.
She rubbed Frenchie's belly and more tears came. She hated losing her longtime companions. They'd been good dogs, better than most people, she'd joke. Now they were dead, murdered, all because she thought it was a good idea to help a woman whom she didn't know from being raped.
If it means anything, I got the bastard that did this.
She couldn't just leave their bodies there. She took a tarp, which she found near a pile of wood against the house, and placed their bodies in it and wrapped it up. She set them across the tail rack of the quad and secured them down by a bungee cord which was already there. I'll give you two the proper burial you deserve. Her knees felt wobbly, and her head swooned just from the little bit of effort with the dogs. Her blood loss was getting worse, and now put her and her baby in jeopardy. She climbed on board the quad and sped off down the long drive, unsure of where she'd go next. She progressed nicely down the gravel road, the moonlight helping to guide her way. She tore around an S-turn, hit a large pothole, and lost control. She quickly tried to adjust, but hit a subsequent hole. The handlebars turned hard to the right, pointing her down a steep slope. As if she was riding a bull, she held on and navigated around large pines. Her fear waned as she thought she'd be fine, then came the downed tree. She slammed into it. The quad stopped, but she didn't as she flew over the handlebars. She landed on her back with a thud. She groaned loudly, and instinctually she felt her belly. Her concern on the child's health and well-being was growing with each second. She'd been through a lot already, now she'd just crashed. She went to sit up, but stopped when she felt a wave of vertigo hit her.
Just lie down for a second more, she said.
Nausea quickly set in. She rolled onto her side and vomited nothing but bile. A cold and clammy sweat clung to her skin. She was in trouble, as was her baby. She knew she had to get up and keep moving, but where? Where was she to go? She was a 9-month pregnant woman with no place to call home, no one to call upon. Lying flat on her back, her hands caressing her belly, she did something she rarely did. Cry. Tears poured from her eyes and down her cheeks.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?